The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the third chapter. As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, "I baptize you with water, but with one who comes after me is more powerful than I. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear the threshing floor and to gather the wheat into its granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Grace and peace to you from our Lord Jesus Christ. The structure of this morning's sermon is very important, so I'm going to tell you right from the very beginning, right now, what I'm going to do. There are two halves to this sermon. The first half, I'm going to stand over here, we're going to think about Jesus' baptism. The second half of the sermon, I'm going to stand over here, we're going to think about our own baptism. Now, in each of those halves, there are two parts. So there are four parts. If you are taking notes, the sermon's 10 minutes long. Each will be 2.5 minutes. Now you know what I'm going to do. Let's move to this Jesus half. We're in the season of Epiphany. It started last Sunday. This is the second Sunday in this season called Epiphany. And the season of Epiphany is a season where we learn about the identity of Jesus. Every single Sunday in Epiphany, every gospel that's read, either here or in the middle, tells us something about the person of Jesus. This is the question that you should ask yourself every time you hear a gospel during this season. What does this story tell me about Jesus? Who is this person called Jesus? So with that question in mind, let's think again at today's very simple story. Jesus went down to the River Jordan, and he was baptized. When he was baptized, the sky opened up, and a dove came down in bodily form, and God spoke, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you, I am well pleased." That's it. It was a very short story. So we have the story and we have this question. If we ask the question, what does the story tell us about the person of Jesus or the identity of Jesus? In this story, the answer should be quite clear. The identity of Jesus is that Jesus is God's Son. It's right there. Jesus hears it, God speaks it. Now, in other stories throughout Epiphany, we have to work a little bit harder. We hear parables or we hear miracle stories, and we have to figure out, well, what do these tell us about Jesus? But in this story, it comes right out and says, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you, I am well pleased." So if it's so clear, why is it that we have so many questions when it comes to the identity of Jesus? If you were to read the Gospel of Luke, even a very quick reading, you would think after the baptism and this very clear statement of identity that it would be read like this. Jesus is baptized, God announces, "You are my Son," everyone believes, and that's the end of the gospel. But that's not at all how the gospel plays out. The disciples, page after page, story after story, day after day, look at Jesus with both awe and suspicion. They ask one another, and they ask Jesus himself, "Who are you?" Of course, it's not only the disciples that ask this question. 2,000 years later, we're asking the same question, "Who is this Jesus?" We come up with a lot of different answers. We hear the teaching, and we say, well, Jesus is a great teacher. We hear of miraculous deeds and think that he does wonderful signs. We might think that Jesus is a great leader who's concerned with social justice, feeding the hungry and clothing the naked, taking care of those who feel an injustice. Why is it, if we have this statement at Jesus' baptism about the identity of Jesus, that we're left with so many questions? I'll give a proposal today. It may be too simplistic, but I think it hints at the truth. I think one of the reasons that we have so hard of time wrestling with the identity of Jesus is that we want to be involved in the process. We want to be involved in the labeling of Jesus or in identifying the identity of Jesus. We want to sort through the evidence ourselves. We want to say, well, here's what I believe, and here's what I don't believe, and here is what may have happened, and here's what may not have happened, and here's how I understand this teaching. And when we add them all up in some kind of grand theological equation, at the end, we get a statement. This is the identity of Jesus. In other words, we think that it's either our burden to label Jesus or our privilege, but it's up to us to figure out the identity of Jesus. Today's gospel takes a very different approach. It actually doesn't invite us into the conversation. It never says, well, what do you think? It doesn't give a voice to anyone. In fact, Jesus doesn't even speak at his own baptism. The only one who speaks is God. The skies open up and a dove comes down, and God looks at Jesus and says, "You are my son, the beloved. In you I am well pleased." In the story, it's up to God to label, to give the identity, and nobody else. Well, if identity is the first issue of Jesus' baptism, it leads to a second question. On what basis did Jesus receive this identity? Why did Jesus get this label as Son of God? Now, the Gospel of Luke is told in a very careful manner. It doesn't say that there was any kind of teaching before the baptism. Jesus didn't do any miraculous deed. In fact, it doesn't describe Jesus as being a great man worthy of this identity. It just says that he came to be baptized. God was the actor. God did all of the work. There is no basis for this identity. It's God who chose to label Jesus in such a way, "You are my son, the beloved. In you, I am well pleased." It's a pretty simple story with a statement of identity and no basis for that identity whatsoever other than God's goodness and God's grace and God's love. If we keep that in mind, it's natural on this baptism of Jesus Day to wonder about our own baptism, and the same structure seems to work when we think about our own day of baptism. Now, I'm guessing that most of us in this room do not remember our baptism day. It happened when we were very young. I remember the baptism of my second daughter. It happened on Super Bowl Sunday. I remember it for other reasons, too. But on our baptism day, the skies didn't open up, and there wasn't a dove. But on the day that we were baptized, God did speak. We heard, the community heard, the words spoken, that "You are my child, and in you I am well pleased." These words from God came to us in the same way that they came to Jesus, spoken by God, an identity declared to us. Now, it's interesting to me that we wrestle with our own identity with the same emotion and intensity that we wrestle with the identity of Jesus, because we too want to be involved in our own labeling, in our own discovery of exactly who we are. Think about it. How much of your day or your week or your month right now at St. Olaf, how much of your energy is spent trying to answer the question, "Who am I?" It's overwhelming, really, to think about how much energy we put into the question of identity. Who am I? What is it that I'm supposed to be? We wrestle with this question, digging through the evidence, trying to figure out exactly what it means to be me, to be you. In our baptism, we hear an identity proclamation. God says, "Your identity," you can wrestle with it all you want, "is that you are a child of God. A child of God, you're beloved, and in you God is so well pleased." Well, why do we have such a hard time accepting that? We may hear it, and you may have just heard it, But we jump to this next question. On what basis do we receive this identity? We know ourselves. We know our shortcomings, we know our sins, we know our brokenness. We know that we don't deserve to be called a child of God. If you're honest with yourself, you hear those words, and they might even rub you the wrong way. Certainly, I'm not a child of God. But we're reminded in the baptism of Jesus the same thing that we're reminded of for our own baptism, which is that God speaks, God's the actor, God's the one declaring identity, and not us. It's not based upon what we do, or what we think, or what we profess. It's based upon God's goodness, and grace, and mercy, that we receive the identity child of God. So what do we do with this? Where do we take this gospel? How do we understand the baptism of Jesus and our own baptism? If you read the Gospel of Luke, it's laid out wonderfully. The baptism of Jesus begins at the very beginning of the story. Jesus is baptized. And from there, he goes out and does amazing things. He teaches, and he loves, and he serves. And the baptism is the beginning of his ministry. Our baptism, too, can act as a beginning. It should. What does it mean to live this identity? To make it part of our own understanding, to make it part of how we understand ourselves, to say, I am a child of God. Because of that, I too want to serve and love and express the same goodness and grace and mercy that I myself have received. That's good news. May the peace that passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.